Mike Lindell, that's the MyPillow guy. He apparently was doing some sort of live stream he called a Yellathon and dropped Jimmy Kimmel's name a bunch of times. Kimmel, of course, responded saying, "Mike Lindell doesn't seem to understand. I'm his biggest fan. I have no idea what he's doing, but I love it. It's quite a production. Phones are ringing. There were crank calls pouring in. The lights went out. He kept ranting and raving about the same things over and over again. Machines, vaccines, and me." A lot of people said the CEO of a pillow company couldn't successfully launch a major social media site, and those people were 100% correct. He's been going nonstop since 7 o'clock in the morning. In 17 hours, he's taken maybe two breaths. At one point, he claimed they had 75 million people watching. Even Trump was like, "Oh, please quit exaggerating, Kimmel. It's like the Jerry Lewis telethon if Jerry was on a public access channel and crack. Of course, I would have him on our show under two conditions. Number one, he has to actually come into our studio. I need to see him in person. I want to smell the knotwurst in his mustache. And number two, I would like to conduct our interview in a bed surrounded by pillows. Just me and Mike snuggled up side by side in a California king surrounded by sacks of goose feathers." Kimmel is teaming up with former NASA engineer turned YouTuber Mark Rober for a three-hour virtual live stream. This is called Color the Spectrum, a live stream to support the autism community. There is one heck of a lineup here. Those slated to appear include Chris Rock, Maya Rudolph, Andy Samberg, Conan O'Brien, John Oliver, Jack Black, Jon Stewart, Mark Hamill. He's not a comedian. Sarah Silverman, Stephen Colbert, Terry Crews, Paul Rudd, Zach Galifianakis, and unfortunately, Adam Sandler. The event will feature a mix of musical performances, skits, science stunts, and whatever it is Adam Sandler does, all designed to benefit autism programs across the country. This thing will be on Mark Rober's YouTube channel, April 30th at 8 o'clock. That sounds pretty good. Great lineup there. Now, James Corden used his late night show to be all upset about the Soccer Super League. If you don't know what this is, over the weekend, 12 of Europe's most famous soccer clubs announced they were starting their own Super League. So it'd be kind of like the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Red Sox bailing on Major League Baseball and teaming up with, I don't know, the Tokyo Giants and starting Super Baseball League, something like that. Corden said, "The truth is, this whole thing, making this move, these teams, these owners are killing. They will kill hundreds of other football teams that compete with them and have competed with them many times over the years, disregarding the fan bases of those teams and disregarding the fan bases of their own teams who are devastated too. I'm heartbroken by it, genuinely heartbroken by it. I'm heartbroken because the owners of these teams have displayed the worst kind of greed I've ever seen in sport. It's hard to express how much these communities rely on football, not just financially, which is considerable, but football is like a focal point of the town's hopes and dreams. That's what it is, you know? And these dreams, they've been shattered not just in Britain, all across Europe. And the reason these dreams have been shattered and discarded is so that a group of billionaires can buy themselves a bigger boat or a second boat. Football is a working class game where anyone can beat anyone on their day. And that's what makes it incredible. It's that what's made it the global force it is today." James Corden finished with, "Don't ever forget it was them, those owners. They took something so pure and so beautiful, and they beat the love and joy out of it, and they did it for money. They just did it for money, and it's disgusting." Sports fan Jerry Seinfeld was on sports radio talking about those first-place Mets and those not-so-first-place Yankees, and Jerry said, "It's not so easy to win. If it was a matter of money, the Yankees wouldn't be 5-10, so never underestimate the number of elements. But I'm really enjoying the Yankees fan base suddenly finding themselves in an unfamiliar and an uncomfortable spot in New York baseball hierarchy. Being 5-10 really upset them. As Mets fans, when things aren't going well, we're fine. We're used to it. But the Yankees fan isn't used to tough times." Jerry said, "I love Yankees fans, and I always say I have no problem with the proud, boastful Yankees fan, even the arrogant Yankees fan. The only Yankees fan I can't bear is the moist Yankees fan, the wet-eyed, teary Yankee fan who gets moist when they talk about the greatness." Jerry weighed in on some of baseball's new rules, so I'll break out frustrated Jerry Seinfeld half-ass impression. "Universal DH makes me want to vomit in the street. The extra innings rule really makes me sick. So the game's over earlier. Who wants less baseball? Not me. I want 18-inning games. It's disgusting. The most valued thing in baseball is a man on base. You work for that. You're just going to whore that out and put a guy in second in the 10th. Just give that up. I get the tiebreaker in tennis, but you think fans will flock to the game because it's 10 minutes shorter? No one gives a damn. The only adjustment I'm in favor of is batter stepping out of the box. I'd be in favor of rules that change that behavior." HBO Max has a new show. It's called That Damn Michael Che. It's a 6-episode series that stars Michael Che, you figured that out, who uses sketches and vignettes, quote, to illustrate what it feels like to experience various everyday situations, including racial profiling, unemployment, falling in love. Yes, Colin Jost will make an appearance. That Damn Michael Che, HBO Max, May 6th. Michael Rapaport is joining the cast of Amy Schumer's Hulu series Life and Beth that's going to get canceled after one season. Rapaport will play Leonard, who is teenage Beth's father, who's down on his luck. Now, if you're wondering why I'm being so harsh and saying Life and Beth is going to be canceled after one season, let me read to you again the description. Life and Beth follows Beth, played by Amy Schumer, whose life looks pretty good on paper, impressive to everyone she grew up with. She makes a good living as a wine distributor? Yeah. She's in a long-term relationship with an attractive, successful guy, and she lives in Manhattan. When a sudden incident forces Beth to engage with her past, her life changes forever through flashbacks to her teen self. Beth starts to learn how she became who she is and what she wants to become. Are you bored yet? You're already bored. You're like, you wish I would go on to the next subject. This is what I'm saying. You can't even make it through me reading three sentences to you. And you want to punch out. This thing is going to get canceled after 1 year. We'll go on her journey toward building a more authentic life, learning to express herself and living in an intentional way. A trip down memory lane is a strong source of trauma, comedy, and moving forward. It's called Life and Beth. It's going to be on Hulu, and it's going to get canceled after 1 year. If you enjoy hearing people with too much useless knowledge, misguided pop culture commentary, and a strange obsession with facial hair, well, good news. The Bearded Man Podcast is for you, and they sponsor today's Daily Comedy News. The Bearded Man Podcast, underachievers from Southern Vermont. I'm not hip to all things Vermont, but I love that we're specifying Southern Vermont. They are underachievers from Southern Vermont, and they continue their journey this spring to discover the most overrated movie of all time. I'm going to weigh in here. I guarantee you the most overrated movie of all time stars Adam Sandler. It has to. There's no way it doesn't. So I was looking at some of the episodes the Bearded Men podcast recently did. April 4th, 90s cartoons, good, bad, and ugly. I'm in on that. February 28th, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I don't hate that movie. Yes, the CGI monkeys are terrible, but it's pretty good. I like Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. February 21st, they did Mike Myers, Good, Bad, and Ugly. There's a lot of bad Mike Myers. I'm glad somebody is admitting it. So it's the Bearded Men Podcast. You can get it on Spotify, Apple, iHeart, wherever great shows are given away for free. New episodes every Sunday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. You can check out their website or Facebook. I'll put it in the show notes, but it's beardedmenradio.com and facebook.com/beardedmenradio. Thank you, Bearded Men Podcast, for sponsoring today's Daily Comedy News. Check those guys out wherever you get your shows. I guess we're in plugs mode here. Don't forget, instagram.com/dailycomedynews. We're doing Top Dog Late Night Edition Battle of the Jimmies. 1997 Titans 74 followed the rules and went to Instagram and commented and wrote Kimmel all day. Lori Terrell White said, thinking, I listen to you, meaning me, so I don't have to watch either of them. So that's like a third column. So far, Kimmel is out to a healthy lead with one vote for I don't watch either. And, you know, Jimmy in, he's in second place. I don't watch either. It has not yet passed Jimmy Fallon. I was thinking about Jimmy Fallon. So, you know, I'm a big fan of late night. My favorite late night show was Late Night with David Letterman, the 1980s NBC version. Because I'd stay up to 12:30 to watch that, I would catch a lot of 11:30 Carson. Over the years, I really came to appreciate Carson. And when they, maybe like 5 years ago, they started putting old episodes of The Tonight Show on every night at 11 o'clock. I watched a lot of old Carson. And, you know, obviously Johnny is great. And then I think of, you know, the history of The Tonight Show and, you know, Jay Leno came and went, and I don't think I ever cared. I felt like Conan might have been a worthy heir there, and they didn't give him enough chance. And then I look at what Jimmy's doing, and I'm torn because I feel like Jimmy is handing in like a really, really lightweight version of The Tonight Show, and I think Johnny Carson would probably shake his head at what Fallon does. Then on the other hand, every now and then, Fallon just crushes it with a bit. There's a couple things you should look up on YouTube. Look up Jim Morrison singing Reading Rainbow. Some of the Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Jimmy Fallon as Neil Young stuff is great. There's a version of Party in the USA sung by Neil Young or Jimmy Fallon as Neil Young. That's really wonderful. Some of the Springsteen stuff is wonderful. And you hear me on more episodes than not talking about how great the Jimmy Fallon writers have been the last 18 months or so. So on the one hand, I feel like it's lightweight and not cool. And on the other hand, I seem to really like it. it. I've also met Jimmy, I think twice, maybe three times, and he was really awesome, really personable, and really fun in real life, so I'm kind of torn there. I think if I voted in this one, I'd probably pick Kimmel, because Kimmel seems to be more of a Letterman disciple and a little, I don't know, edgier or angstier in a way that Fallon's not, so I don't know. Be curious of your thoughts. Go on Instagram at Daily Comedy News. And if you want to react to what I just said there, you don't have to vote. You could just comment to do that. One of my favorite TV critics is Daniel Feinberg. You should follow him on Twitter. He tweeted that season 2 of Dave will premiere on June 16th on FXX. You may know Dave as the rapper Little Dicky. That's how my son knew him. And Daniel Feinberg says, if you haven't watched, the first season of Dave started off a little bumpy, but from the fifth episode on, it was possibly last year's best comedy. Dave is really good. It's not for kids. And I know my son, he's 17, was watching it, and I didn't want to talk to him about it because it's quite adult. But, you know, they have the internet in their rooms now, so you got to roll with the punches as a dad. I don't want to make it sound like it's porn, but it's edgy. Dave is really good. You should watch that. Morrissey is upset at The Simpsons. Why? On Sunday, the episode revolved around Lisa enjoying the morose company of a Morrissey-esque imaginary friend who was voiced by Benedict Cumberbatch. Morrissey's management team wrote a screed on Facebook, Vulture used the word screed, to inform everyone how much they loathed it, writing, "Sadly, The Simpsons show started out creating great insight into the modern cultural experience, but has since denigrated to trying to capitalize on cheap controversy and expounding on vicious rumors. Poking fun at subjects is one thing. Other shows like SNL still do a great job at finding ways to inspire great satire. But when a show stoops so low to use harshly hateful tactics like showing the Morrissey character with his belly hanging out of his shirt, makes you wonder who the real hateful racist group is." Are they just messing with The Simpsons, or are they serious about that? Speaking of The Simpsons, John Cleese weighed in and said, "Not wishing to be left behind by Hank Azaria." Remember last week, Hank apologized for voicing Apu for 2+ decades. "Not wishing to be left behind by Hank Azaria, I, John Cleese, would like to apologize on behalf of Monty Python for all the many sketches we did making fun of white English people. We're sorry for any distress we may have caused." Speaking of cartoons, Jerry McLean is trying to convince me that Bob's Burgers actually exists. She posted on Instagram, what she is claiming is an episode of Bob's Burgers actually airing. Now, I'm looking at this. Jerry claims Channel 118 ITV2 was showing an episode of Bob's Burgers. According to her screen grab, it had started 22 minutes ago. And this was 8:52 p.m. on Monday, April 19th. Now, clearly, it's a drawing of Bob's Burgers, which on this podcast in the past, I've admitted there are clearly, I mean, no doubt, clearly drawings of what Bob's Burgers would look like if it were an actual show. But if you're a new listener, I'm going to ask you two questions. The first question, need you to be honest. Have you ever seen Bob's Burgers? The answer is no. The second question, have you ever met someone who has seen Bob's Burgers? The answer to that is also no. So I don't know what's going on with Jerry. I think the Bob's Burgers Mafia has kidnapped her cat or something. I hope you're okay, Jerry, but there's no such thing as Bob's Burgers. I'm having fun today. Should I keep going? Let's keep going. The Dubai Comedy Festival has announced its first headliners, so I'm going to have to plan a road trip with Second Glenn, not the first Glenn with the agent, the second Glenn I use in bits. Second Glenn and I, road trip buddy, Dubai Comedy Festival, May 13th to the 22nd. They've announced the headliners. You ready? Gad Elmaleh, the French-Moroccan stand-up comedian and actor. He starred in several feature films, including Coco and Midnight in Paris. He's one of your headliners. Eddie Griffin. Really? Maz Jobrani. I love Maz. He's great. Namer is a Lebanese-American stand-up comic who is, quote, pioneer of the stand-up comedy scene in the Middle East. He's written 7 full feature shows, the late of which was a world tour that took him to major U.S. cities, Europe, and across the Middle East. Alexander Riva, who's better known by his stage name Arthur Peroskov. Riva will perform alongside his partner in crime, Mikhail Gulistan. So, Second Glenn, let's go. Hey, Dubai Comedy Festival, you must have some money. Why don't you fly me out? I'll cover this thing and do the show from there for a week. Come on. One of you listeners must know the organizers of the Dubai Comedy Festival. Road trip. If you're watching TV tonight, Melissa Villaseñor, who I find easy on the eyes. I just wanted to share that with you. She's on Seth Meyers tonight at 12:30. Ed Helms is on The Late Show. Ed Helms almost single-handedly destroyed The Office. Come on, admit it. We all love The Office, but Andy Bernard, those last four seasons, awful, unwatchable. So he's on Colbert tonight. I hope he doesn't destroy Colbert the way he almost destroyed The Office. Yikes. Lane from Louisiana left a review of this podcast on Apple Podcast. Lane from Louisiana left 5 stars saying, info packed with just the right dose of host personality. I appreciate that comment there because I try and chime in a little, just a little. I'm kind of chimey today, though. But then this comment specifically adds, Lane Spurkus recommended this podcast, so I tried it out. Now, the review is from Lane from Louisiana. Are there 2 lanes? I suspect there are not. 5 stars, though. Thank you. If you're bored, you can review the podcast on Apple Podcast. I appreciate that. I promised yesterday I would explain Dogecoin. The New York Times wrote about it because yesterday was Doge Day. Now, as I'm recording here, my son and I, who are Dogecoin day traders, let's see how we're doing today. I think we're down. Yeah, we're down a couple pennies today, but we made like $200 on this thing yesterday. So from the New York Times, Dogecoin is a cryptocurrency that started as a joke. It now has a market value that can't be laughed at, more than $50 billion. So this whole thing is a goof, but idiots like me are trading on it and it keeps going up. The goal yesterday for Doge Day was to have the price coincide with 420, April 20th. On Twitter, the hashtags hashtag Doge Day and hashtag 420 were trending. Dogecoin's price had surged lately. On Tuesday, it was trading at about 40 cents. Now, I look at this thing in the middle of the night because A, I have insomnia, and B, I'm insane. It was hitting around 42 cents at like 1 in the morning on 420. But as I'm recording this, it's down around 37. But the kid and I made like $300 trading this nonsense on Tuesday. So whatever, Dogecoin. Happy birthday to Queen Elizabeth II. She is 95 today. If you like the royal family, I'm also the writer on a podcast called Palace Intrigue. It's 5 minutes a day about the royal family. Been talking about Philip a lot lately. I'm sure we'll circle back to Meghan Markle very shortly. But happy birthday, Your Majesty. That is your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. Hey, check your feed if you're on Apple. They're tweaking what they're doing with podcasts, so make sure you're actually still following the show so you don't accidentally unfollow the show. They've gotten rid of the word subscribe. So just if you're on Apple Podcasts, open up the Purple app and just make sure you're actually getting the show. Presumably, you're listening to me right now and you got today's somehow, so maybe I should just shut up and see you tomorrow.